Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God is written in the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations. In baptism, every Christian has enough to study and practice for his whole life. That quotation from the Large Catechism expresses the very high view of holy baptism which characterized Martin Luther. It was an integral part of his theology, his preaching, his piety, and his very life. And one can only guess that Martin Luther might be slightly dismayed and shocked if he were to visit the church that bears his name today to see what we make of holy baptism. Holy baptism is so often regarded as something that happened so long ago in our life that it really doesn't have a great deal to do or say to us where we are now. We have, of course, moved on to bigger and greater things, so the imagination of our hearts would tell us. And perhaps words like ignore would be far more accurate description of what we do with baptism rather than study and practice our whole life long. And couldn't one observe that perhaps the recent emphasis on the so-called baptism of the Holy Spirit is more a commentary on our neglect of holy baptism than it is any sign of some kind of renewal in the life of the church? Yesterday we celebrated the day of St. Michael, the day that ushers in this segment of the Trinity or Pentecost cycle, take your pick, when the church really concentrates on the great struggle in which it is engaged as the people of God. As we look at the three great enemies of devil, rule, and our own sinful flesh, and we need all the help we can get. And it is precisely in that kind of struggle that our holy baptism is a great resource and power for faith and life, where we learn in the great school of experience that in holy baptism we have enough to study and to practice our whole life long. It is with that in mind that we would look briefly at these words from the prophet Isaiah about God's call to us in baptism and of who we are because of his gracious call. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. You and I are who we are because of God's action. Anything we want to say about our relationship with God always has to begin there. I have called you. It is never the other way around. It is never that people call on the name of the Lord, somehow seeking him out of a myriad of all kinds of possibilities, and just by some great stroke of luck, they happen to get into the right hook. It is always that God in grace calls us. He called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and promised he would make of him a great nation. In the burning bush, he called Moses to lead his people from bondage into freedom. He called Isaiah from a people of unclean lips so that on his lips he might plant the everlasting gospel of grace and peace. Our Lord called Peter and James and John from being fishermen to fishing for men. And he called Matthew from the receipt of custom and said, "Follow me." And he stopped Saul the persecutor on the Damascus road and made him a proclaimer of the good news. And in the same way, he has called you and he has called me in his great act of grace and love in Jesus Christ in holy baptism. When we were buried with Christ by baptism into his death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You see, it is never a choice that we make. It's not some decision for Jesus that arises out of our quiet self-consciousness or whatever it might be. But it is always the rescuing God who comes in our total inability, in our total I don't care, because this gospel is foolishness to me in my natural state. And he takes us by the hand. Without knocking the Gothic architecture of Concordia Seminary, one of the most delightful expressions of the love of God to be found around here is when some of you parents walk around with your toddlers. This place wasn't built for children, and it's got stairs all over the place. It wasn't built for old people either. But the father puts out the hand and helps his struggling child up and down the myriad staircases of the campus. You gotta look at that sometime, because it's a beautiful expression of God's love. Because the father doesn't do have some stupid sense of compulsion, or he's afraid he might have to pay a doctor bill if the kid falls down. Because of his love for the child, he puts his hand out and takes the child by the hand. And then if you ever forget what response is all about, take a look in the child's face. There is an aura of absolute confidence, trust, that the father is not going to let the kid go and let him flop somewhere. Takes him by the hand in love, and the child looks up in fiducia. That is a good example of what fiducia is all about. In his faith and confidence and trust, it says, "You are my father." Yes. The Lord is our Father. He has taken us by the hand, and he has kept us in his grace as his people. And it's as we exercise ourselves in that great gift of love that we are exercising and studying and practicing our holy baptism. And we can do it for a purpose. For the God who robes in righteousness and takes by the hand and guards and keeps and preserves also has a task for us. I have given you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nation. We have been incorporated into the family of God through the washing of holy baptism, are now empowered by the Holy Spirit to be God's living covenant, the sign of his grace, the word of his forgiveness. Didn't it ever strike you as strange that the Lord did not shower Bibles from heaven in order to convert the world? He didn't even send the angel, and we forgot earlier yesterday, to do his task. But he took people who have gone through the labor of holy baptism and who have been washed white in the blood of the Lamb and made people of God, and to them he said, to you, to me, to the whole church, "You are my covenant to my people. You are the light for people who are in darkness. You have the word of everlasting life." And the power to do that, to be covenant and life. Doesn't reside in us, in our intellect, our wisdom, our blessed degrees, and whatever else we might have. But the power has got to come from the same source that brought us in, the gospel. The word of grace in a washing and a cleansing, in an announcement of forgiveness, in body and blood given with bread and wine, our Lord empowers us to do his will. And when we catch that kind of flavor of what baptism has begun and continued in us, we have a greater appreciation of the profound insight that in baptism, you and I have enough to study and practice our whole life long. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And understood the old in the light of the new. And so he's described to the kingdom who can tell us and proclaim to us such great parables as those of the pearl of great price, the hidden treasure. He's not as like a Jewish scribe, dull as dust. He is something new, like you, fermenting everything that is touched. In the words of Stephen Vincent de Mey, something was loose to change this shaken world, and with it, we must change. That's what the Matthew model does to you, in terms of perception, profession, privilege, and proclamation.